Welcome back to Hill Country Institute Live, Exploring Christ and Culture. I'm Larry Linenschmidt, your host, and we're delighted you were with us today. We serve the body of Christ by encouraging and equipping followers of Jesus Christ to fully demonstrate his heart and mind in all of life. We invite you to visit our website, hillcountryinstitute.org, to listen to past programs, which are also available as podcasts on iTunes as Hill Country Institute Live. Audio and video from past conferences on faith and culture issues, such as faith and science, work and art, are available there as well, along with presentations on the works of C.S. Lewis and the Inklings and more. Speakers include William Lane Craig, Alistair McGrath, Andy Crouch, Mayor Ivy Taylor of San Antonio, and many others. We also ask you to consider a donation to support this program. You can donate through our website, hillcountryinstitute.org, and by calling 512-680-7993. If you'd like to sponsor the program, please contact us. The radio stations are our friends, but they like to be paid for the airtime. And now let's welcome our special guest today, Dr. Billy Kim. Dr. Kim, it's a delight and privilege for you to be with us.
Larry, it's good to be here.
Thank you. Well, just as we closed out in the last section, we were talking about the Far East Broadcasting Company, and during the break, we talked about some of the work that y'all have done in some ways that I found to be unexpected.
Larry, we've been criticized by the people said evangelical Christians don't do much social work. Mm-hmm. I took 200 people to Jordan and Israel from my church. And we were visiting, and all of a sudden, there's a snowstorm in Jordan. They never have a snowstorm.
That's amazing.
After we had the audience with their king, he said, why don't you go visit Jatari Camp, where those people cross from the Syria into Jordan. Mm-hmm. And so we went there to ambassador, several of us. And I was moved by children and women suffering and remind me of during the Korean War.
Sure.
So that evening I came back to our 200 people. We have a small revival meeting in a hotel room. And I have my program director went with me. She's a lady. I said, when we go back, it's January 2013. I said, when we go back to Korea, we're going to have radiothon, raise money to build container house for these people because when rain and snow, you cannot sleep on the ground because it's wet.
Oh, miserable conditions then. Yeah.
So I asked one of those men, what do you need? They said, we need a container house. So I said, okay. They have a few of them built by the Saudi Arabia people. So we went back to Korea and start raising some fund on the live radiothon. We were, I think, 1 hour live. We were able to raise enough money for 400 container houses. So we got the money and exchanged into U.S. dollar, send it to our ambassador in Jordan. So he contracted with the people there and put a 400 container house, put a Korean flag on every container house. So I had the prayer with one of the large conglomerate company. He said, Forest Broadcasting Company is doing a good job in Jordan, Syrian refugees. He said, our company will give you 1,000 container house. And he sent money. Korean money. So we have to exchange into U.S. dollar. And I send 300 amount of money to our ambassador. Month later, another 300. Another month later, another 400. So they got all 1,000. We put Korean flag on every container house. A phone minister asked me to have lunch with him. So I did. He said, government should be doing that, but you civilian did it. We are grateful. Government will make a 300 container house. So it became 2,000 container house in Jordan with the children's and women refugees there. So we were grateful that we not only preaching the evangelical gospel message, but we are able to help some of the people suffering because during the Korean War, we got help from the American people. Mm-hmm. And we want to in turn help those people who are in desperate need. So our station went on the radiothon when they joined the Haiti earthquake and tsunami in Indonesia and Japan earthquake. And we were able to raise some money in the name of Christ. we don't have all the apparatus, so we send some Good Samaritan, we send the convention, and we send the money. We even sent the United Nations to help out Haiti.
Yeah.
And it was a wonderful way to express our concern, our love, and for them, those people who are suffering.
Well, Christianity is not meant to be something that's totally personal. It is personal. We are to grow, but it's meant to care for the least of these.
Well, sure, the scripture tells us, love your neighbor.
Yeah.
And I think if we practice what teachings of Jesus, we cannot just close our eyes when those people have desperate need. And when I went to camp, refugee camp, I remember during the Korean War, there's many orphanages and many places where use a schoolhouse, school building for people who evacuated from their home. So we felt that it's our turn to help out.
Sure. Well, you've experienced what it's like to be on, if you will, the wrong end of that, the difficult end. So that gives you, I guess, a deeper heart and compassion for how you want to treat others, doesn't it?
You know, many of the U.S. troops in Korea, and right after the Korean War, they sponsor many orphanages. I think Osan sponsored a couple of them, haven't you?
Yes, sir, Dr. Kim. Osan Air Base, and I know also at Kunsan, they are actively supporting and getting GIs involved with orphanages in the local area. And it lifts the spirit not only of the children, but those who give their time. The military members always come back from visiting the orphanages, so encouraged and filled with hope and joy. The children give them more than what they are able to give to the children.
Yeah, that melodious voice you're hearing is my friend, Colonel Chaplain Bruce Glover. We introduced him in the first set, but just to be sure, if you just joined us, he has been stationed in Korea. He's stationed in San Antonio now at Joint Base, and is part of the chaplain program here. And just delighted to learn about this interplay, because Dr. Kim, you're so international in your thinking and in your experiences. There's a U.S. sergeant who's a Thai here, and some, you were with him around the Jordan River, and we're able to do something, you know, that's extraordinary. Can you kind of tie those pieces together?
Well, when I met Sergeant Carl Powers, I wasn't a Christian, and he wasn't a Christian.
Yeah.
So when he sent me to Bob Jones, I got converted. And that summer, I came home. Home is where, in Virginia, where Sergeant Powers' family lives. I told him some wonderful things happened at school. Said, I opened my heart to receive Christ. He said, you know, I've never done that. So that afternoon, after we mowed the lawn in the back porch of his home, he opened his heart to receive Christ. Mm. Well, meantime, he went to college on GI Bill and got a master's degree from University of Tennessee in Knoxville. Then he began to teach public school. So one oldest boy, Joseph Kim, he said, Dad, God called me into the ministry. I need to go to Bible school. I said, then you need to go to U.S. They got a better Bible school than we do in Korea. So we were coming to Holy Land. I want to show him, you know, where Jesus worked and performed a miracle. Mm-hmm. So I wrote Sergeant Carl Powers a letter. Now, he's a school teacher. I said, I'm taking our family 1 week at Holy Land before we come to the United States. It's a Christmas holiday. I'd like you to join our family, and nothing will make us happier. He wrote me a letter. He said, after I've been converted, I've never been baptized. If you promise me you'll baptize me in the River Jordan, he said, I'll come. Day before Christmas, 1979, he came to Tel Aviv. We went out to pick him up, came to Jerusalem, spent Christmas Eve. On Christmas Day, I rented a car. We drove all the way to Sea of Galilee, where the Jordan River starts. There's a great big pool. They are ready for people to come to be baptized.
Mm-hmm.
So I take Sergeant Powers into the pool. The Sergeant Powers who paid my way to the school 9 years. And without him, I could never come to the United States and never found Christ. And I was walking in with the Sergeant Powers. Our younger son, John, he was 11 years old at that time. Now he's got his own church in Daejeon, Korea, where one of my colleagues here attends that church.
Uh-huh.
He said, Dad, I've never been baptized. I want to be baptized with Uncle Carl. I said, come on in. Truly, my wife and Joseph and Mary Kay was watching at the riverbank. And I was privileged to baptize Sergeant Carl Powers. Name of Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I baptized John, and when I brought them out of the water, I can't think but tears coming down my cheek. We cannot make that kind of program work. It's only by the grace of God that he was converted. Several years later, I was able to baptize him in River Jordan.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be baptized any other place other than Jordan River, and he worked out beautifully. And 3 years ago, I got a notice that he passed away.
Yeah.
So I said, Joe, let's go. So Joseph and I flew to Virginia. I conducted a funeral for him and buried in his family plot. It was a military burial. And when they got the American flag, Stars and Stripes, they folded in triangle. And he didn't have, he never been married. So he didn't have any immediate family. So soldiers gave me that flag. And we took it back. We put him in a prominent place for remember the Sergeant Powers. We'll never forget the goodness. And so when I got back, we established a scholarship foundation. We call it PK, Power and Kim Scholarship. And we have already given maybe almost 500 students for scholarship.
That's incredible.
Larry, if I might, that relationship that Dr. Kim beautifully described, in my opinion, was the formative event throughout your ministry, Dr. Kim, that has given expression to care for servicemen in Korea and also here in the United States. And the appreciation, the gratitude that Dr. Kim and his family have continued to show, and the church and FEBC have continued to show to Americans, flows out of that love and that relationship. It's heartwarming, and it is so moving for all of us that have been recipients of that grace.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, there's so many aspects to that. If anyone ever feels that they're just one person, and what can they do, and what kind of impact that they can have, I think the sergeant represents what that can be because of his caring for you.
And every time I speak in that Virginia area, I ask him to come.
Mm-hmm.
On one condition, he said, don't introduce me, don't give any credit. Then he said he will come. He's a very humble man.
Yeah.
And he's certainly not only to me, but all of his students. I mean, he brought his own expenses. I invited him twice to Korea and a couple of his students. The students who didn't have much at home, a lot of trouble, problem kid. He brought him to Korea just to express his love for those school children.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a tremendous education for me. So when we got our first boy, I named him Joseph Carl Kim.
Sure.
I want to make sure that Carl Powers' name is a legacy, not only in our family, but many of the Korean people.
Yes. Well, it's great to hear his story. Well, we've talked a little bit about the interaction of your ministry and American servicemen. How do you reach out and connect with the American servicemen that are in Korea?
Well, number one, we had a lot of enlistment come to our church and come up to our home. And not only that, then they have some soldiers go to the servicemen center that run by missionaries, and we were able to support them. And second, whenever they want us to come, bring the children's choir for their Christmas and their national prayer day, anytime they have any request. In fact, one of the chaplain colonel asked me if I could travel with them to where the B-29 was gone down to ground during the Second World War. So I was able to go. And there's some remote sites in Korean mountains. So chaplains asked me if I could go with them on a helicopter and go to site, encourage 5-6 soldiers on those sites. And we were able to do that. And furthermore, sometimes the GI's family come, their mothers and fathers.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them have some problem with the Korean law. and some of the soldiers in Korean jail. And we were able to visit, encourage them, take them Bible, some Christian books. So there's many ways the civilian could get involved with U.S. troops because there's a thing called SOFA agreement. Mm-hmm. That's military, if you get in any legal problem.
Yeah, statuses of forces agreement between our nations, correct.
So we were able to talk to our lawyers and tell them, you know, make some leniency upon American soldiers.
Sure.
Because sometimes you drink and without knowing you'll fight with Korean nationals, that kind of things. We were able to ask our justice system to help out some of the American soldiers. You know, like a tank goes a little narrow country road, happened to run into two high school girls. Mm. And it was a national news. I mean, it was, yeah. I mean, Korean people are all upset, and we tried to hold the meeting, tried to hold them down. It's not, they didn't do it on purpose. It's just they didn't see it.
Yeah.
So that kind of negotiation with the Korean
difficult
government.
Difficult circumstance.
Yeah. When I was in Korea for 2 years, we were able to enjoy the hospitality of the Far East Broadcasting Company. They helped us arrange Christian heritage tours around Korea so our people could understand Korean culture better and appreciate the importance of Christian faith to the rejuvenation of Korea. I and many other GIs had the privilege of being hosted by Dr. Kim and the Far East Broadcasting Company to important events like the National Prayer Breakfast and other kind of events in Seoul. And those kind of events allow us who are serving the opportunity to learn more about the culture and appreciate our friends. In Korea, there's a saying, "Kapshi kapshida," which means we go together or let's go together. And that's the ministry of Far East Broadcasting Company.
Another thing, you know, Osan or U.S. 8th Army in Seoul, they have a number of Korean girls marrying American GIs. Mm-hmm. So chaplain's office asked my wife to come do some seminar because it's the other way. You know, the American girl marry Korean man, vice versa, U.S. servicemen marrying Korean. Mm-hmm. And basically, you know, there's some lot of problems with the in-laws and some of the customs that the Korean bride ought to know when they go to U.S. So my wife was able to ask by the chaplain's office if she would come tell him her life in Korea as an American housewife. If Korean housewife go U.S., what she should learn about. So that kind of thing. Now, you know, there are so many capable people. But when we got there first, there's not too many Korean married foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
Korean. Now, we got a lot of older Korean bachelors marry Filipino, marry Mongolian people, marry Indonesian people. So it's no longer a novelty.
Yeah.
But when Trudy and I went first, it was a novelty.
Sure. Yeah, times change in that way, don't they? Well, in the sense of culture, there's a couple of things I'd like to ask you about. And the first, I've read of the prayer mountain as a practice among Korean Christians. Would you tell us something about that, why it's important to you?
Well, when I went to school here, preparing for the ministry, nobody has early morning prayer meeting. Mm-hmm. Early morning prayer meeting, we mean 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to church 4:30 in the morning, start prayer meeting 5 o'clock. Senior pastors expect to speak every morning, and we sing, then we pray. And that's a tradition with the Korean church. So some of the people say that's not enough. So they go to mountain and pray, sometime 2 days, 3 days, fast and pray.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Pastor Cho Young-gi made it famous because he has Prayer Mountain where hundreds and thousands of people come overnight, two nights, three nights, pray. And the Korean Christians, I think, trademark is a prayer.
Yeah.
And many Korean churches even today have an all-night Friday night meeting every morning, 4:30, 5 o'clock. Some churches have a 5, 6, 7 early morning prayer meeting. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I was trained here when I got back, start pastoring. We didn't have early morning prayer meeting.
Yeah.
So, you know, the members come and say, how come we don't have early morning prayer meeting? I say, you don't have to pray just 5 o'clock. You could pray at 8 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock. And they didn't buy it.
He said, watching over Israel never slumbers nor sleeps.
Yeah, yes. Unless you have early morning prayer meeting, we don't consider you spiritual enough to lead the people. So 45 years, mm-hmm. I had the early morning prayer meeting. Now I'm retired. I could pray it at home. I don't have to go cold church on every morning, 4:30. But I did 45 years, same church.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking about the juxtaposition of this rapid growth of the church and this incredible prayer life that the church has. Do you think that those two are connected?
Well, I think the revival came because of prayer.
Yeah.
Korean church has been marked as a praying church.
Mm-hmm.
And God has blessed that particular phase of the Korean church. Now young people coming in. You know, when I went there to pastor a church, there was no automobile in any church, mm-hmm. including Dr. Cho Young-gi's church. There's no automobile.
Mm-hmm.
Now, every church's biggest problem is a parking lot. And I think, ask him how many cars their family have. Probably two. Ask this fellow.
We have some of Dr. Kim's colleagues here in the studio with us. So
yeah, they probably have two cars, one wife and one husband.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have a parking lot space. So it's the biggest problem in Korean churches, parking lot.
Yeah.
So now the young people, it's sad when the affluence comes in, and they think you don't need to pray as much as when we were poor.
Well, Dr. Kim, we're coming to the close of this section of our program. Would you like to pray for the Church of Korea, the Church of the U.S., maybe the Church of the world, just as the Spirit leads you?
Well, I think we need to pray for your inauguration and probably over by the time this program goes on. We have a problem with our president.
Mm.
And I understand your inauguration, many of the congressmen not going to attend.
Yes.
It's divided.
Mm-hmm.
So I think American church needs, Korean politics needs and Korean church needs, because we are ally.
Yeah.
We are very close together.
Sure.
We fought in Vietnam together,
mm-hmm.
and U.S. came to Korea, joined the Korean War. You want me to pray?
Yes, if you would.
Our Father, we thank you again for this great nation. Thank you again for the great church in America. Send a missionary 130 years ago to South Korea and to North Korea. We pray thy special blessing might be upon the leadership of this nation and the Christian leaders. Bless them, guide them, and direct them. We also pray for Korea. We're going through deep, deep political problems. We pray that God will honor and bring it back to Christian people. On their knees, pray that God will save the nation according to his scripture. In his name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Dr. Kim, thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you
for your insight. Thank you for your hard work over the years and your consistency in serving the body of Christ. It's an inspiring story. And thank you for praying for us.
Thank you.
So we do need to draw the program to a close. I thank everyone who's listened today. I hope that you've been as touched by Dr. Kim's story as I have. In doing the research and listening today, we're just touching the surface of how God has used Dr. Kim in so many ways in a country that has just absorbed the gospel. In 100 years, almost a third of the country has become Christian, and that's extraordinary. So continue to pray for the Far East Broadcasting Company, pray for Korea. Pray for the tensions that Korea has politically, as well as just being under the gun of North Korea. But pray mostly for the church, that it would honor Jesus Christ and be strengthened. And pray that we in America can learn from their example of prayer, which is so extraordinary. This prayer meeting at 4:30 and 5 in the morning, I'm not sure what I'm doing at 4:30 or 5, but I'm not praying. I'm sleeping if possible. So please bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So thank you again for being with us. I hope you'll visit our website, hillcountryinstitute.org. We have podcasts there, previous programs. They're also on iTunes under Hill Country Institute Live. We have audio and video from past conferences on faith and culture issues such as work, science, and art, and topics of concern such as environmental stewardship and fighting human trafficking. We ask you to consider supporting this program financially. The radio stations like to be paid so that we can stay on the air. So you can donate at our website, hillcountryinstitute.org, or by calling 512-680-7993. That's 512-680-7993. And for donations of $100 or more, we'll send you a copy of Dr. Billy Kim's biography and hear more about, read more about what you've heard about today. So thank you again for being with us for Hill Country Institute Live. We encourage you to share the love of Christ wherever God calls you.